Hey, welcome back to Eat the Artist Podcast, talking about the good, bad, and ugly of making it as an artist. If you've been wondering where we're at, that's probably because you haven't seen our first ever video episode. It's exclusively on our Facebook page right now, facebook.com/pandapausemusic. I interviewed an incredible venue owner down here in Tampa area, fighting on the front lines every day to keep those independent venues alive and strong. So head over, find out what's going on, and then follow the links below to get involved. I've got some awesome stuff coming up for you guys. My first single off the new album is being mixed as we speak. And if you haven't checked out my newest single, L'Appel de Vide, head over to my website, pandapausemusic.com/freebies. You can download all my music for free forever right there. And I'll have a link in the description below. We've got an awesome episode coming up for you. Real talented musician from the Tampa area. So sit tight, tune in, and enjoy this week's episode. Thank you so much. Welcome back to another episode of Eat the Artist Podcast. This is Pandapause, your host. And I'm joined today with a super talented musician from the Bay Area where I'm at. He fronts an awesome band, Discord Theory, and they have been killing it this past couple of years. And I'm so excited to have him on and to learn more about him and the band and what's coming up. I have Mr. Lewis Geiler. Welcome. How are you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me, dude.
Yes, thanks so much for joining us. I'm so excited to find out more about you. I've been a fan of watching you guys develop over this past year. You guys have just been killing it. Especially this past year has been really fun to watch what you guys have been doing. But before we get into that, I want to learn a little bit more about your start and your background as an artist, all right? So can you tell us, what was your early introductions to music? Like, even just like the music you were listening to?
I mean, I've always been a huge fan of music. Even when I was like 5 years old, I would just, being frank, listen to my sister's like Backstreet Boys CDs and sing along to them all the time, because that's just what I had available. But then my siblings growing up, they were in a band, and that's when I really got interested in performing. And then by the time I reached like 13 or so, then I started learning how to play guitar. I honestly started by learning Green Day and Nirvana songs.
Nice.
And so I learned all their stuff, then moved on to Blink, then tried my hand at some metal and classic rock kind of stuff. And just from learning all those songs, that's kind of where I like picked and choose what I liked, and to kind of create my own style and kind of learn how to structure songs. And then, you know, in my teen years, I got way more into like emo and even more pop punk stuff. And I was all into like Panic at the Disco and Fall Out Boy and all that good stuff. So I'm sure you can hear those kind of influences in the band.
For sure. Yeah. And were you a Warped Tour fan too?
Oh, definitely, man. I'm so sad. Right. I can't cross that off my bucket list. I'm hoping they do a revival.
Right. Yeah. It was, I was definitely a big fan of Warped Tour growing up, and definitely Nirvana and Green Day and Blink. I mean, you hit all the classics. Like, yeah. I think if you're, you know, in kind of our generation, I think we all have a soft spot for those bands.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
And, yeah. But all right, well, that's great. Awesome. And your family, are they into music at all? I know you said your sister has some CDs, but any other musicians in the family?
They've all dabbled in music, but not to the extent that I have. Like, you know, when they were younger, they would be in classes, like the chorus or like, you know, band and stuff like that. But other than that, no, none of them have taken it as seriously as I have.
Wow, that's... That can be, you know, that can be a challenge sometimes too. You know, not known people who, you know, can kind of guide you the way, but sometimes that's, sometimes that's how it is. And I can relate to that a little bit. Let's talk about first concert. Now was Warped Tour one of your first concerts, or did you see something before that?
Before my first Warped Tour, I went to a Next Big Thing. And it was a pretty sweet one. It was the one with Angels and Airwaves, 30 Seconds to Mars, My Chemical Romance, Taking Back Sunday, like stack lineup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was a great first concert.
That's awesome. Very cool. Yeah, I've been to the next big thing too. I think I saw,
it's not what it used to be, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah, my fiance was a big fan back in the day too, but when we went, yeah, that's that was kind of a that experience, but still it was a good time.
Yeah, I'm sure
it's hard to beat that
great artist that no matter saw. What, you know.
Yeah, so you said your first, you got a guitar, and that you told us that was your first instrument. And how mm-hmm. soon after that were you songwriting?
I would say around a year or so after, maybe even less.
I would right just
come
rip.
Home. Yeah, I would just come home after school and write about like whatever was on my mind, whether it was a girl or getting annoyed by my teachers or my parents or whatever, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I still have some of those lyrics around and some of those demos, and it's really funny to look back. But it's great to see how much you've grown too.
I could definitely relate to the songwriting bug. It's nice. It's always nice to see growth and looking back on past stuff. And like you, I started out early. Like as soon as I started, I could put lyrics and progressions together. I was into writing right away. That's what it was for me. Everything.
Yeah, me too. I don't really even consider myself a guitar player or any other instrument that I dabble in. I mostly consider myself a songwriter.
Nice. Well, one thing I love to talk about with artists on here is the process. That's one thing I always like to go over, especially songwriting. I'm a huge songwriting fan, like I said. So tell us a little bit about your process, especially, you know, you were talking about looking back on stuff in the past. And maybe you can talk about how your process has changed with those early songs to this more recent stuff.
Oh, definitely. Well, when I was a teenager, I would definitely say I was way angsty, especially with all the emo bands I was listening to. So I definitely used to write my lyrics first in my younger days. And then write the song around it. And like I would have like a melody in mind and then, you know, try to put that into the reality. But these days it's definitely like the opposite way, where I come up with the music more first. And then I go in and write the lyrics and the melody around based on the music. Like kind of I love to have like a song written musically, instrumentally, and feel how it impacts me, and can kind of write the lyrics based on that, you know. Like if it's an upbeat song, maybe write something more lighthearted or positive, but maybe if it's like darker or slower song, you know, change it up.
Right, absolutely. Letting the emotions of the music guide the emotions of the lyrics. I love that.
I feel like half of the songs these days, the lyrics and the songs don't even match, you know?
I can definitely relate to that. Oh, yeah. I definitely have had thought that before, too. And what about some inspirations? Like, I know we've talked about kind of, you know, the things that affect us on our day-to-day that are easy to write about, but sometimes I find myself, especially over this pandemic, like just being locked up like for a while and not being able to, you know, just get a lot of things. You know, I'm a big believer that you have to experience life to kind of get that inspiration sometimes. You got to live life. So
absolutely. I agree with you.
So how have you maybe talked about some things that you do to combat writer's block? And have you had been suffering from any of that during this quarantine era?
I would say here or there. I have, but I have gotten a lot of writing done during this quarantine era. And also what I've been trying to do is kind of go back to some stuff that I like already have worked on, but develop it more, you know, try to see what other cool things I could do with it, you know. How I deal with writer's block, I try to get influenced by a cool movie or video game or comic book or something like that. And some those kind of things usually are my big inspiration. So when I feel like I don't know what my next song is going to be, you know, what the next challenge is. And, you know, you always feel like you got to make it has to be better than the last, obviously.
Right.
So, yeah, I look a lot of inspiration in, you know, my hobbies. I'm really into film and comics and video games and that kind of stuff. Like, I love entertainment as an art form. And I feel like that has, like, the biggest impact. Not just on me, but on society as a whole. And that's why, you know, I want to be part of that kind of stuff too.
Love it. And now I have to ask because, you know, I'm in the middle of recording an album right now. And I, for the first time, wrote a song about a video game. So nice. I have to, So tell me, what's a recent video game that you've written a song about? I would love to compare.
Oh, man, a recent video game. Give me a second on this one, because I definitely know there's some stuff that definitely I could reference. I just got to think into it a little bit. Man, not to waste time, I can drop you some other kind of nerdy references that I've been put into songs. Like in Flashpoint, there's a...
Flashpoint, nice, keep going.
there's a line, unlock your hidden potential or something like that in one of the verses. And that's totally supposed to be like, that was a reference to like Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z and stuff. And like how they get their hidden potential unlocked. Mm-hmm. And then Flashpoint obviously is a reference to a pretty recent, but really, really awesome Flash storyline where he goes back in time and, you know, messes with the universe and has major repercussions and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I'm a huge, my fiance is a huge DC fan and got me into Flashpoint. Yeah, definitely a big, big Flashpoint fan. That's one of my favorites. And the whole switch up with, Bruce Wayne getting killed and his dad.
Oh, man, yeah. Right. Yeah, like the mom crazy. Being the Joker, that's so right. Cool. I would crazy. Totally watch like a whole animated series just based on that universe.
Yeah, it's definitely a good one. Great references. I love that. Just for conversation's sake, the game I was talking about, are you a Red Dead Redemption fan?
Yeah, I played those games. They're fun as hell.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the second one. Yes. Big fan. And I wrote a song just based off of that posse, just kind of like the one big hit, kind of that they're chasing the whole game. They're chasing the one big hit. So I'll have to send that one to you.
That's funny. Yeah. I can't wait to hear it, man.
Well, cool. Let's refocus now on, so we talked a little bit about the writing. Now let's talk about the results of that. And I'm gonna start getting towards Discord Theory now. How long have you guys been a band?
We've been a band for 3.5 years now, since 2017, early 2017.
Nice. That's a good age for a band, you know?
Yeah.
Get a lot of the kinks out in the first couple of years, really kind of get that stride going.
Yeah, definitely. Feel out your sound, way more confident about that kind of stuff. And for me, it's like the longest term band that I've ever been in, which I'm really happy to say. You know, I've had a lot of bands that like you start out, you think this is it, oh, this is my big project. You record an awesome EP and then, you know, something happens. One member leaves, you can't find a replacement. Time passes, you know. So I'm really proud of this project and how far we've come in those 3 years. And we've gotten to do some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear that, man. That's so good that you guys are going strong. How did you guys start out? How did this form?
So my previous band was named The Invention Of, and that kind of fell apart, as I was just previously mentioning, as one of the many. But I had some songs and I still really dug those songs. So I stayed, I kept a couple of members of that band. And that was the beginning of Discord Theory. And then they introduced me to I already knew him, but we got Anthony to come in and play bass for us. And then the other guys that were still leftovers of Discord Theory, they eventually left as well. And then Anthony introduced me to Steven, and me and Steven just hit it off right away, both musically and like as friends, and you know, into the same video games and Resident Evil or whatever, you know.
Nice.
And Austin, who was part of The Invention Of, he was living in Portland for a while, and then so we kind of like had some part time drummers for a bit, nobody that you know really fit the spot. But then Austin was moving back, and I was like, dude, even though we don't have like a concrete drummer, we've been killing it. You got to come join this band. It's like the best music I've written. And he was all about it. And then since it's been the four of us, and I couldn't be happier. They're definitely all my best friends. And I feel like we make magic together, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, and it's, you know, been watching you guys. It's hard to disagree with that. I can see, you know, let's look at this past year, really. I kind of wanted to go over. So I know that the last, starting from the beginning of one of our first interactions with the Gasparilla, which we both had played.
Yeah, so still one of the best experiences ever.
Right, such an awesome time. Yeah, that was really awesome.
It's going to be hard to top that one.
And did you guys play that Bayside show this past year, right?
Yes, that was, other than Gasparilla, I would say our other like great moment, especially for obviously the whole band. We all love Bayside, but me and Austin have been diehard Bayside fans since our teen years. And I just remember back in those days, being like, you know, one day we're going to open for Bayside. So it was really cool just having that like dream come true kind of moment, you know?
Wow. Yeah. Dream come true. That is awesome. And was that over at Orpheum?
Yeah, it was an Orpheum, and we had to do like, it was really cool of them. They did like a local battle of the bands thing. So every city of that tour, they had the bands compete. And the bands I won got to play for them. So we hustled super hard on that. Had our friends voting every day, texting people, like group texts of people. shout out to our homies, viewers like you that have competed with us and had us like so hungry for it. And they did great as well. It was a close one.
Yeah, I remember that was some intense competition because yeah, Zach, my guitarist who played with me in Newfang, he was awesome. Fears like you, that was intense.
I know Vincent's a huge fan of Bayside too, so I'm sure he wanted it just as bad. But I'm not gonna say that I'm not happy we got it. You know,
right? No, good competition, and got to open up for some OGs and definitely the pop punk genre. So that's awesome, man. What a great experience.
Speaking of healthy competition, I will say that's something I do feel that Tampa scene does really well. I feel like there is a bit, like you're saying, healthy competition. Like we all look at each other like, oh, that's cool. Can't believe they're doing that. But it's never like hateful, you know? It's never like talking shit, at least far as I know, on my end.
Nah. Just fueling the fire, you know. We gotta push each other. That's
good. I agree.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's what has come up has inspired some of the greatest albums of our time. You know, I immediately think of, you know, Pet Sounds answering Revolver, and then Sgt. Pepper's answering Pet Sounds. You know,
yes,
Beatles and Beach Boys. So
yeah, totally.
That's awesome. So Bayside, Gasparilla, and then you dropped that awesome music video, Stranded, which you collaborated with Zetrovision on, right?
Yes. Our boy. Right. He kills it. One of the best photographers in town.
That was awesome. Tell us a little bit about the experience of making the video before we move on. It was a really awesome time.
It was so much fun. You know, it was beautiful. You know, we had like the whole kind of like Stranded on an island idea, so what better way to do it than at the beach? And like, we're stranded at the beach, you know, kind of on an island kind of thing. So we had already worked with Zetro for the Gasparilla music festival stuff, so I checked out his other stuff out before we started working together. And then I saw that he shoots amazing sunsets, and he's like, his real stuff is like beach and stuff. So I was like, as soon as we were like, I'm gonna do a beach video, who are we gonna get? It was pretty obvious that we had to go with Zetro. And as far as the experience, it was so much fun. You know, we were trying to do it mostly during the sunset time, so it was very quick and go, very fast pace. But I'm really excited how it came out. Beautiful sunsets like I wanted. Carrying the equipment across the beach. I will warn people who want to make a... make beach videos, you know, be ready for that. You're gonna be sweaty in the video, but you know what, you're at the beach anyway, you're supposed to wear that get sweaty.
That burn.
It was a dope time, honestly, and definitely recommend Zetro if anybody enjoyed the video or any of the pictures that he's done for us.
Yeah, make sure to check that out, listeners who haven't already seen that. Make sure to check that out. You can go to their Facebook and also on your YouTube, correct? Right.
It's actually exclusively on YouTube right now. No Facebook at the moment, not currently.
Oh, okay, cool. So just YouTube. All right,
we're trying to get more people to, you know, go to the YouTube where we felt you know.
Yeah.
But exclusively marketing. On the, yeah.
Nice. Well, very good. So yeah, so make sure to head to their YouTube and check that out. We're going to have the links for all of that in the description of this podcast. And I'm going to make sure at the end that you go over those links too, so people can hear that. But let's finish off looking at this year. So you did that. Then you did Rock the Park, which is awesome. I got to see that virtual. It was really cool.
And I was lucky enough
to get to see you at Crowbar with Holly Glenn, which was my first show to even just seeing anything since Gasparilla. And you guys killed it. Holly Glenn killed it. It was like really – it was such a fun time. It was a pleasure to see you guys. Was that a good show for y'all?
It was an amazing experience. Obviously, it felt great getting back on stage. But other than that, I was just like really proud of how safe and responsible our crowd was, right, especially for like, you know, how crazy things are right now. And even Tom came up to us and said that one of the most responsible crowds he'd seen. So that was like the proudest moment for me, because, you know, especially right now, you get scared of that kind of stuff, especially, you know, throwing events at this time, even at a limited capacity, can be kind of sketchy, you know?
Right.
But right. I am going to say, if there was anyone that I would do an event again or with at any time, would be Tom, because he is working so hard to make sure everything is safe, that the capacities are low, that people are wearing the masks. And obviously, you know Tom, so you know how hard he just works in general to make sure music and the community's doing well, you know?
Right. Yeah, he's been doing a great job fighting a hard fight on the front lines. And he's made sure to not sacrifice any bit of safety for these events. And I can definitely appreciate that. And he's canceled events too, if he felt that it wasn't safe. So yeah, I definitely can agree to that. And all the people on that Safe and Sound venue list out here, much love to everyone trying to keep it safe for us. I appreciate that.
I mean, we got to adapt in these times, you know. It's crazy to just have everything close to. We got to find some kind of middle ground. And it really comes down to the people and their efforts, you know, and being respectful, so we can all survive and all our favorite places to go to don't close down during this pandemic, you know?
Right, exactly. And we will have, as always, for these episodes, we will have a link to NIVA, National Independent Venue Association, so you can head there to make sure you can find out how to get involved with saving our stages, because right now is the time to fight, for sure.
Huge, huge, huge.
Right. So how have you now, after going over this, looking at this year, I would say, you know, we are, like you said, we're in an unusual time. So how have you guys managed to stay busy? And I know, like we talked about, you've been responsible and working responsible events and still finding a way to grow as a band. I was so impressed by that. How did that work out?
We had a lot of big plans for this year. We were going to go on our first like tour, like on the East Coast kind of thing, you know. I already had like 70% of the dates already booked and everything, but obviously we had to cancel all of that. So as soon as I saw that like our main way of getting known or making money went away, I was like, I need to buckle down on the social media and the online content. Right. And like I started taking a couple of classes on learning how to maximize my posts and just online marketing in general. So that was honestly a huge part and something I recommend, because to any musician trying to do music these days, because even if you're trying to be on a record label, you're basically supposed to be expected to be self-made already. Already have your own fan base, already be profitable. So you gotta be in, have an entrepreneur mindset as well. And it was something that I was already for and that I was already like doing and learning things on the side. But especially with the shutdown, I really took that time to learn a lot more about that kind of stuff. So I would do that kind of stuff. So, and make sure I was always posting consistently and trying to come up with fresh content. We did a lot more like personal videos about the band and stuff like that. But another huge thing that I really did, I started interacting with the fans a lot more.
Right.
And honestly, I think that was the biggest thing. It's hard to say, but to me, I really think, and that was the most satisfying experience for me. personally was actually talking to people, and whether it was someone that didn't really like us that much, it was still like fun to get some criticisms from people, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of what we did, and we buckled down on online content and trying to have like the music video and that kind of stuff, you know?
That's great. Yeah, that's great. Smart. Yeah, these days, musicians, you got to be, got to wear many hats. Let's put it that way.
There's a lot of great people on YouTube. A
lot of knowledge out there. Mm-hmm. I will say one person that I definitely, or two people that I definitely recommend to any musician. One, Ari Herstein. If you, Ari Herstein has a fantastic book that I recommend to people who's, and if to any, you know, any type of artist, he has a great book called How to Make It a New Music Business. Mm-hmm. And then another one that I'm a big fan of, Indiepreneur. They're a music, you know, just a marketing service for musicians that have a great education system. But they're on YouTube. Both of them are on YouTube, and they both have podcasts too. So
mm-hmm. if anyone's out there looking to beef up.
Yes, yeah. That's great. Well, I commend you for adapting and having a great year against all odds.
I can really say that's been our best year yet, which is kind of like, I feel weird saying that, you know, because we only got to play like maybe like 3 shows, but technically one was our biggest show yet still, Gasparilla.
Right.
And then, you know, as far as like the online presence and people actually listening to the music and watching the videos and stuff, like it's better than it's ever been. So
right,
we made it through and we still got tons of more stuff planned, you know, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. And so speaking of, so what? Let's talk about what's next for you guys. What can people expect in terms of? I know you guys have some music coming up, but in terms of releases and shows, what can people keep an eye out for?
So currently, we are still working on our full length with Lee Dice, who's an awesome producer up in Georgia. That's worked with bands like Made It Parade and Against Me and stuff like that.
Nice.
So we're working on our first full length with him, but that's like an ongoing process that's gonna, especially with the pandemic, it set us back a little bit. So mm-hmm. in the meantime, so we don't keep people waiting forever, we're doing, this is actually the first time I'm talking about it, we're doing a split with our friends in Holly Glen that you saw at the Crowbar show.
Nice. You're doing like a split EP?
Yes. It's gonna be one song that's each, awesome. But you know, still.
That's
better.
Awesome.
Yeah, I figured we'd do something different instead of just doing another single. And plus also to differentiate it from our singles that are going to be in our full length, you know?
Right. That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so you heard it here first, folks. We got a double, a split single EP, which is going to be awesome between Discord Theory and Hollyglide. So when can we expect that?
I want to say very early 2021. I don't want to put an exact date on it yet.
Sure.
You know, but very, very early.
That's awesome.
2021. Well, so
we will make sure to keep an eye out on that. Very excited to hear that. And where can we find this? Where is the best place for people to follow you if you have merch and things like that? Where's the spot? Where are we sending people?
DiscordTheoryBand.com. You can go there if you want to help us by buying merch and all that kind of stuff. But it also, you can find all our links to Spotify, Bandcamp, Apple Music. All our videos are up there. So it's really like the main hub where you can get all your DT goodness at.
Awesome. There you go. Get that DT goodness. You heard it first from Mr. Lewis. Thank you so much for joining us. And congratulations on such an awesome year. Despite all the hecticness, and we really look forward to keeping up with you guys and seeing for the next great things to come for y'all, all right?
Hey, man, thanks again for having me. It was awesome talking to you. Also, I can't wait to see what all the cool stuff you come out with, man. You know, I'm a fan of yours, too.
I appreciate that. Well, thank you, guys. Make sure to check out Discord Theory. You heard it, discordtheoryband.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll have all the links in the bio for you. Pan and pause out.